So it's from Matthew 4. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And let's take a moment to pray as we're going to look at this text together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you always have something for us. And I pray, Lord, help us to hear something of you afresh this morning. Amen. You might be thinking, what links all these things together? What connects four very working class first century fishermen, a more middle class first century tax collector, and the late Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II? Well, the fact that they all, in very different ways, answered Jesus's call to follow him. Each one of them are examples of how they lived their lives radically transformed by answering that call to follow Jesus, as they sought to shape their lives and how they lived around Jesus' example. Well, what does it really mean, that phrase, "follow me"? Because in its original context, for Peter, Andrew, James, John and Matthew hearing it, it had a very distinct first century meaning that's, if we're honest, probably lost on the vast majority of us today, because it had just a different resonance in its culture. I mean, when we hear, "Oh, I follow me," or, you know, "I follow so-and-so today," it, we probably first think of, well, that's something you do on social media, perhaps. And it has that connotation of, well, I like to keep up to date with what somebody else is doing, a sort of a distanced relationship. It's sort of watching what somebody's doing from afar. But what Jesus meant when he called each of those disciples and when he called Queen Elizabeth to follow him was something very different. Because what Jesus was issuing to them and also to us is a rabbinic call to follow him. It didn't mean to just look at what he did. It didn't mean to admire what he did. It meant to become his disciple. It meant to become a student, if you like, of Jesus. And for those early fishermen and Matthew, the tax collector, that didn't mean just perhaps hanging out with him once in a while and learning some of his best ideas and hearing some teaching. It meant complete reorientation of their lives. It meant taking on an apprenticeship to be and live and work with Jesus. It meant giving up all that was familiar, leaving behind their families to spend time with Jesus as their teacher in order that they might become like him, to take on his teaching, to become the teacher themselves. And of course, it's not just ideas, but it's about how they lived. It's about how they taught, and it was as radical an idea to follow your rabbi then as it was for us today. And in accepting that call, and it always amazes me that James and John and Matthew and who left out, poor old Peter and Andrew, they just kind of get up and get on with it. I mean, Jesus must have really been quite a magnetic, charismatic person in the flesh, so to speak, to do that. But because when they did that, when they accepted that offer, their lives were never the same again. And, you know, they went on to see and do incredible things with Jesus. I mean, they literally saw lives transformed in front of them. And ultimately, through Jesus' death and resurrection, they saw the world transformed before their very eyes. And of course, that's through them spending time with him. And once he goes back to heaven, once he ascends, they then become the bedrock of the movement that we call the church today, spreading the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to every corner of the known world. A far cry from collecting taxes or fishing. It was a life that involved sacrifice, but a life that was transformed as they followed Jesus. We have a baptism at our 10:30 service this morning. We had so many, it's wonderful. And you know, baptism is this wonderful sign and this wonderful moment where parents pledge and promise that they too will bring up these children to know Jesus, to follow him, to live that countercultural life. And that we pray when we baptize children that they make that choice for themselves as they get older. And of course, where our Queen Elizabeth comes into this is that, of course, she made a very profound commitment to follow Jesus with her life. She said yes to his calling. She said yes to serving him and serving us. One of the real joys over the last couple of days has been reading so much of what she said about her faith. And I'm just going to share a couple of little bits. In Christmas 2000 broadcast, this is how she described following Jesus. She says, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life." In 2014, she described Jesus as the anchor of her life. And we're going to express some of those things as we sing Cornerstone a little bit later. But her life and her service speak volumes of the love of Jesus lived out in Elizabeth's, our Queen's, life. Jesus wasn't a set of ideas. He wasn't a wishful thinking. He wasn't just a concept for her. He was her Lord and her Saviour. She lived by the teaching of Jesus. And of course, now we know she has entered into his greatest promise of all. She has now seen him face to face. And I believe that this autumn season for us as a church is actually an opportunity to try and experience a little bit more of what those early disciples and of what Her Majesty did of following Jesus that little bit deeper. I think it's an opportunity we are, since God calling us, to step into deeper waters with him, to push deeper into what it means to be somebody who lives a life of faith, to be a disciple of Jesus today. And as we head into the autumn in October, we're going to be launching the first of what will be years and years of new resourcing to help us to do that, because it's so important that we all keep growing. Why is it so important? Why? Well, because when we pattern our lives on following Jesus, we too are transformed by the experience of he is, just like the disciples were, just like Queen Elizabeth was. And just like both of those groups, we do so because it enables us to play our role in transforming our world, bringing some of the kingdom to pass in the here and now with Jesus. My sense this weekend is that God has so much more in store for us as we have than we've previously seen as a church. We have seen this incredible public example in our monarch of what it is to follow Christ, and it's an exciting call for us to follow. And if you're watching this morning, perhaps you've stumbled across us, perhaps you've been watching us forever, and you're not sure that you kind of go, "Yeah, I'm not sure that I know who this Jesus is, that these people have followed, who've shaped their lives," then here's my encouragement. Come back next week. Come back the week after that and the week after that, and keep finding out more. Come and experience Jesus for yourself and see the difference he can make in our lives. Because following Jesus, saying yes to that call, is for everyone. There are no exceptions. There's nothing you can do, no life you've lived, nothing you've ever done that can exclude you from turning and following Jesus. Fishermen, tax collectors, children, monarchs, They all have the same call. And you know what? Whoever you are, wherever we are, that experience is always the same. When we say yes, when we hear Jesus say, follow me, our life is transformed by his love. And the world is blessed by you as you live like he did. Amen.